I'm very happy to be your speaker this morning, and I hope that something that I have to say will be helpful to each and everyone here. You know, many times when we're speaking of God to other people, speaking of Jesus to other people, we talk about some of the miracles that he performed. We often throw about terms that he's the healer of the blind, he raises the dead, he forgives our sins. But I fear that sometimes we don't know the details of some of those stories. So today I want to take a look at one of those miracles that was performed. It's mentioned in Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 46 through 52. And this is a story of the healing of the blind man, Bartimaeus. We read there in Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 46, beginning in verse 46. And they come to Jericho, and as he went out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the wayside. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and said, call ye him. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered him and said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And he said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And straightway he received his sight and followed him in the way. When we read this story, we can think of many, many examples of things that we can learn from this situation. If we think of ourselves as being on that road as Jesus began to come out of Jericho, if you put yourself in his place, here he is, he's a blind man. He's sitting in probably a strange place, but he knows that Jesus is coming and that Jesus has the power to heal him. I think one of the things that is important is that we all know the same thing that he knew. We may not always know exactly where we are, but we know that Jesus has the power to take care of us. For many years, Bible students have read the sacred stories of the Bible to attempt to better understand how the ones in the Bible must have felt at the time that they're going through these situations. We can ask ourselves, what must it have felt to be like Abraham? You know, Abraham was asked by God to sacrifice his only son. We can only wonder and only guess what that made Abraham feel like. We can wonder what must the world have been like before the great flood. How fretful and afraid were Samson's parents at his wayward desires for girls of other nations? Another question we could think of is, how tough was it for Paul to leave behind his life of privilege and power, only to experience the hardships of being an apostle? How sorrowful was Peter when he heard the rooster crow the third time? Empathy has been defined as a sensitive show of concern, of seeing through the eyes of another. Empathetic people are those who express their feelings toward your problems with sympathy and understanding. We have three accounts in the Bible that seem to speak to this same story, this same episode. Matthew chapter 20, Mark chapter 10, and Luke chapter 18. Each account shows a slightly different look. And we want to take a look at these accounts and learn a few things from these examples. In our text reading of Mark 10 and 46, we find Jesus coming into Jericho. Other accounts mention of him leaving Jericho. A closer look at the city of Jericho shows us that there were two cities of Jericho with a short distance between them, known as Old Jericho and New Jericho. We would think that any wise person, as Bartimaeus was, and being a beggar, if you were going to set up camp to be in a good position to beg, you would want to do it on this road where you knew that Jesus was coming. So his position was very important. He was in the right spot. And that's important for us as well today. He situated himself between the two cities where there was lots of traffic. So as Christ and the crowd were leaving one Jericho and coming near the entrance of the other Jericho, they encountered two blind men. Matthew mentions two, while Mark and Luke only mention one. In our reading, Mark mentions Bartimaeus by name. And if we study that name a little bit, we can see that the prefix bar means son of. So we can get son of Timaeus. He's not just a beggar. He belonged to Timaeus. He was his son. And we know that Timaeus loved him and wanted the very best for him. Timaeus worried about him every day. And we can only imagine, with those of us that have our own children and grandchildren, how we worry about them and how we want the best for them. And you know, children that have health issues or problems, we worry about them every day, every minute of our life. And we can only imagine what Timaeus was going through in this situation. In that same way, Jesus worries about us today. He worries about our sins. He worries about our walk with him. He wants us to do the right thing. He wants us to follow him in all that we say and all that we do. In this story, we hear that Bartimaeus hears that Christ of Nazareth is coming. So what does he do? He begins to cry out. He begins to call to Jesus. He says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And I think one of the important things in that sentence right there is he says, "Have mercy on me." He's crying for mercy. I find it interesting that he didn't just say, "I'm blind, I can't see, fix me." He was crying for mercy. And that's the same attitude that we need to have when we are faced with problems, when we're faced with sin in our life, and we call out for God to fix it. We need to ask for mercy. We see in this story that some in the crowd tried to quiet him down. You can only imagine that these that were around him, the first thing that I think that they thought was, "Be quiet. He's not coming. He's not coming to you. You're just a poor blind boy. Why don't you be quiet and go away?" And so you can see that as the story goes along, they even get more loud. "You need to be quiet. You need to go away." In some ways, maybe they were embarrassed by him. You know, maybe they didn't want him to bother Christ. We can see that. You know, we can see how they could look at that and say, "This is Christ. This is Jesus Christ. This is important. he's not going to come to you. You're just a poor beggar boy, so you need to be quiet and not embarrass us. For whatever reason, they wanted him to be quiet. But what does he do? The Bible said he cries out all the more. How many times in our lives do we have people that tell us to give up, to renounce our faith, to do certain things that we know we shouldn't? How many times do we give in to that? It would have been real easy for Bartimaeus to say, "Yeah, you're right. I need to be quiet, and hopefully he'll see me, and I'll sit back here off to the side." But he doesn't do that. He cries out all the more. He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." We see something at that moment that must have been very incredible to all that were in that area. And that's very simply that Christ stops. He heard the cry of Bartimaeus, and he stopped, just as he will hear our cry. Then he tells some in the crowd to bring Bartimaeus to him. He wants to see Bartimaeus. Bring him to me. I want to know him. I want to help him. So the crowd goes and fetches Bartimaeus, and they tell him to be happy because Christ has called for him. Now, that's a little bit of a switch of what they were saying earlier, but it seems that maybe they've had a change in their attitude as well. Many times we can affect the people around us in that same manner in our everyday lives. He throws off his garment and jumps to his feet, thrilled at the prospect of coming face to face with Christ. And then Christ does something that is very wonderful. He says, "What can I do for you?" Bartimaeus addresses Christ with the highest honored title bestowed on Jewish leaders. He says, "Rabboni." Translated, that means "my great master." Naturally, his desire was to have his sight. And we see in verse 52 that Christ gives him his sight. He restores his sight. And straightway he received his sight and followed him in the way. Now in Mark and Luke, again, we said that they're a little bit different accounts. But perhaps the reason Mark and Luke mention only one blind man while Matthew mentions two is that Bartimaeus was not only healed, but he continued to follow Christ. It seems incredible that a man could be healed of blindness and not follow the man who performed the miracle. But that may be exactly what happened to the other blind man mentioned in the other accounts. Bartimaeus followed Christ in the way. And there's a parallel here that we can draw that we see that Bartimaeus was healed of his blindness, and he followed Christ in the way. This is the same way that we can be when we have our sins forgiven. We're healed of sin. All of our sins are forgiven. We're baptized into Christ. Does it make sense, as was brought out here, that would it make sense for Bartimaeus to be healed of his blindness and then go about his way and celebrate and go off into a far land and not follow the one that healed him? Well, that's the same question we can ask ourselves about our walk with Christ. You know, he heals us of our sins. He heals all of our ills. And it just simply doesn't make sense after being healed of those things, that we would walk in our own way and that we would turn away from Christ. Now I want to examine five things that we can learn from this historical event. These are things we can learn that help us better deal with our own lives and the lives of others. If we hope to serve others the way God wants, then maybe this story will give us some insights. The first thing that I want to look at is that people, each one of us, every person on this earth has a soul, and it makes everyone worthwhile. We see from this story that Christ viewed Bartimaeus as a person, not a thing. He was a very valuable person to Christ. Christ knew that he was somebody's boy. He wasn't just some blind guy that was bothering Christ. Whether we're dealing with somebody in the church or somebody outside the church, everybody is somebody special to somebody and also to God. When we talk with others about the truth of the gospel, we're talking to somebody's son or daughter. They may be a husband or a wife or a brother or a sister. They mean something to someone, and especially to God. Luke 15 and 11 tells us of a father who had two sons. We know this story well. The younger went to his dad and said, "Give me what I'll inherit when you die." You know, I've often wondered why the father did that. He didn't have to. And I've feel quite certain that if I went to my mom right now and said, "Give me what I will have after you die," she's going to look at me awful funny and say, "No, you can wait till I'm gone." And that's the question. Why did he do this? But note what he did with that request. And he divided unto them his living. It seems, even though the older brother didn't ask for it, the father divided up what each would get and gave it to them. It sort of puts things in perspective with regard to the older brother's problems, doesn't it? We know that the prodigal son, as this story relates, had a dad. And we read in the Bible how the father anxiously waited for his son, watching the road every day. And one day he saw his boy returning home. And what did he do? We know that he ran and killed the fatted calf, and they had a big celebration because the prodigal son had come home. He didn't say, you're the black sheep of the family, you need to go somewhere else. He took care of him. Whether he was rebellious or disobedient, he was still his son. Any dad would imagine the joy of seeing him come home. Luke 15 and 20 says, "And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." We all know that we're important to somebody. We're important to Christ. We're important to our family on this earth. But at some point, we have to realize that we all have a soul that will live forever. And that makes every person, every individual, special. Matthew 16 and 26 says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Mark 8 and 37, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing matters more than saving a soul from eternal death." We see this again in James 5 and 20. "Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." That's the most important thing to us, is to save our own soul and the souls of others. Our view and treatment of others ought to reflect our awareness that every individual is important. Every individual matters. Where your soul spends eternity matters. We need to be busy doing something to help them. And the key to helping other people is caring and caring about their soul. As we mentioned earlier, it's empathy. It's that view of how we view others' problems and bear one another's burdens. Without it, we'll never be the ministers of Christ that we should be. The second point I want to look at is we can see from this story of Bartimaeus on this road that Jesus is the remedy. He's the remedy for our sins. He's the remedy for all. He has the power to heal all. We know that Bartimaeus heard the commotion of the crowd passing by. When he learned it was Christ passing by, what did he do? He began to cry out to him. He had one singular objective, and that was to get the attention of Christ. That was the most important thing. He knew if Christ passed him by without him getting his attention, that he might well have lost his opportunity. So he didn't just ask quietly if he could see Christ. He cried out. He made a commotion. And we have many in our world today that are crying out in that same way. He knew Christ was the answer to his blindness. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we know that Christ is the answer to all of our problems? Do we know that regardless of the problems in our life or the life of others, that Christ is the answer? John 20 and 31 says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." We must ask ourselves continually, do we seek Christ or something else? Do we show others that seeking other things is more important than looking for Christ? You know, in this story, we see that Jesus had passed by this on this way, on this road, on this day, the day that Bartimaeus was out there. I don't know if he ever passed that way before or not. We don't know if Bartimaeus ever had an opportunity like this before. One thing we do know, though, is we know that Bartimaeus recognized that he had a chance to grab the attention of Christ, and he jumped on it. We must question ourselves. Do we have the same response that Bartimaeus has when we see an opportunity daily to seek Christ? Do we react in the same way that Bartimaeus did? He had one opportunity that we know of, and we're not promised more than that. What do we do with our opportunities? When Jesus passes by us, are we busy with other things, or are we ready to see him? One important part of the story is the recognition that he had a weakness and a problem. Bartimaeus knew that he was blind. He knew that he had a weakness. Do we see those same things in our own spiritual lives? Do we see and recognize the weakness that we have? You know, many times we tell ourselves we're fine, we're good people, we're doing what we should be doing. But the question we need to ask is, are we actively taking advantage of the opportunities that are given to us from Christ? Do we recognize that we have a problem? Do we recognize that we have sin in our life? Sometimes we fail to see our own problems. We're able to be deceived and think everything is fine, when really we're in deep trouble spiritually. And we can see that without Christ, really, we're all blind. We're all in the same situation as Bartimaeus. We need Christ to help us with our problems. No, he's not some miraculous cure for everything that ails us, but he is the answer to all of our problems. If we don't have our lives right with God, then nothing else matters. And that's an important thing that we all must remember. If we're not right with God, nothing else matters. Serving God has got to be the priority of our life. The third point I want to make is that we have to be determined to serve God. In the story that we read, do we see some determination in Bartimaeus? Did he give up easily? Was he embarrassed by asking for help? We know that when some tried to shut him up, he just cried out all the more. How determined are we? How determined are we to share the gospel? Sometimes, aren't we too easily defeated? When people of the world try to shut us up, don't we get quiet? Now, wouldn't it have been very easy for Bartimaeus to do that same thing? When the crowd, and you can imagine, I'm thinking a pretty large crowd of people that he didn't necessarily know is telling him to be quiet. Wouldn't it have just been easier for him just to be quiet and not to cry out to God? But we see it was important enough for him not to lose the opportunity to have an audience with God, to have his sight restored. Sometimes we're all able to be too concerned with what others think. You know, Pilate was concerned with the desire of the Jews to crucify Christ, but he gave in to their request. Peter was concerned about being numbered with the disciples when Christ stood trial. He warmed at the fire with those who wanted Christ dead. Time and time again, we read of Bible characters who cared more about what others thought than what God thought. The Bible, at least twice, refers to this as being men pleasers. Ephesians 6:6 says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Colossians 3:22, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Too many people are more concerned with gaining the approval of other men than they are with being approved of heaven. That's a scary thought, but it's true. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The world, the people, and the surroundings, none of these things got in the way of Bartimaeus crying out for Christ. We need to have that same determination. You might think in your own life, what gets in your way? What affects your service to God? Would you have this same determination as Bartimaeus? You know, his was a physical ailment, but we know that this applies also to spiritual ailments. Number four, the story we learn from Bartimaeus, so we have to know who Christ is. You know, if he didn't know who Christ was, didn't recognize that Christ was coming, he would have missed an opportunity. He would have missed probably the only opportunity that he had to be healed of his blindness. But he was able to recognize Christ and recognize what Christ could do for him. And so many in the world today do not have this recognition. Since Bartimaeus was the son of Timaeus, he knew Christ was the son or descendant of David. Literally, Christ is the Son of God. That's what Timaeus knew. 1 John 5 and 12 says, "He that hath a son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Those responsible for the death of Christ didn't fully realize who he was. When Peter preached to them on the day of Pentecost, he clearly taught them who Jesus was. Very familiar passage, Acts 2 and 36 says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." You know, even Christians can sometimes forget who Christ is. And we can forget the power that he has. You know, I think it's important that, you know, in our everyday life we get busy and we have things that take our focus away from God. And I think that in those times where we're having struggles, we have to remember, and many times we forget, that God is the one that provides the power. God is the one that provides the answers to all of our problems. Matthew 6 and 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, Bartimaeus wasn't interested in a magician, a politician, or an entertainer. He was interested in Christ, the Son of David. The stories of Christ had reached Bartimaeus. He knew who Christ was. How else could he have known who Jesus was and that Jesus would be able to heal his blindness? So he must have been told of Christ's power, must have been taught of Christ's power. He knew that Christ had the power to heal, and he knew that Christ was the answer to solve his horrible circumstances. We need to learn the same thing. Today, even the Lord's people need to fully understand who Christ is. We need to understand the spot that he should occupy in our lives. As important as he was to Bartimaeus physically, he is much more important to all people spiritually. Our eternal destiny depends on our relationship with Christ, because he is our only pathway to God. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Doesn't it seem strange, based on this passage, that people attempt to connect with God through Mary, Buddha, Muhammad, and others? And doesn't it seem strange that men think they can have a direct connection with God without going through Christ? Based on God's word, it's foolish for a person to claim they believe and follow God when they reject Christ, our only mediator. Maybe we don't really understand that aspect of who Christ is, our mediator. If you define mediator, a mediator is one who intervenes between two persons who are at variance with a view to reconcile them. That's an interesting definition used in this situation, because many people today don't believe that Christ and the world are at odds. And we have to understand that they are. And the only way that it can be reconciled is through Jesus Christ. This word is not found in the Old Testament, but the idea it expresses is found in Job 9 and 33, in the word daysman, which means umpire. This word is used in the New Testament to denote an ambassador, and we're talking about mediator here. An ambassador, one who acts as a medium of communication between two contracting parties. In this sense, Moses is called a mediator in Galatians 3 and 19. But we know for a fact that Christ is the one and only mediator between God and man. We can read this in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, Hebrews 8 and 6, also Hebrews 9 and 15, and 12 and 24. In all of these passages, we read that he makes reconciliation between God and man by his all-perfect atoning sacrifice. That sacrifice for us, for the remission of our sins. Such a mediator must be both divine and human. He has to be divine in order for his obedience and his sufferings to have the power of forgiveness. He also has to be divine in order to have the wisdom, knowledge, and power to direct all things in the kingdom of providence and grace that God committed to his hands. Christ had to be human so that he might represent man and be capable of rendering obedience to the law and satisfying the claims of justice. He is also the head of a glorified church. Ephesians 1, 20 through 23 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. As a mediator, we can see that Christ fulfills these three functions, a prophet, priest, and king. They are never separated in the exercise of the office of mediator. So when we read what Paul wrote to Timothy about Christ being the one mediator, we have to clearly understand this means Christ is prophet, priest, and king. Philippians 2, 6 through 11 says, Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father. It should be foolish for us to think that we can render obedience to God without giving proper service, reverence, and obedience to Christ through the church which he shed his blood for. God exalted Christ, and Christ followed God's will by sacrificing himself for the sins of the world. And those sins can only find forgiveness in the church. Jesus purchased with his blood. Like Bartimaeus, we have to really understand who Christ is and what he can do for us. It's the only way we'll learn how to behave toward him. When Bartimaeus was summoned to go to Christ, he jumped to his feet. He was quick to respond at the invitation to go to Christ. And that's another lesson for us. The final point I want to make is that we need to focus on helping others. When he comes face to face with Bartimaeus, Christ asks, "What can I do to help you?" Serving others is a way that we serve God. Too many are asking, how can I get your help? They should be asking, how can I help you? So we come full circle. We began by learning that Christ saw Bartimaeus as a real person, somebody's boy. This might hold the key to our ability to help other people. First, we have to view them as real people who have real problems and needs. Consider the fact that God's only Son came to earth with a high degree of willingness to serve others. Had he not had that quality, he would have never given himself to die on the cross for our sins. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many, according to Matthew 20 and 28. If Christ didn't come here to be served, then why have we come here? Are we here to serve ourselves? Are we here to have others serve us? As Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4 and 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. We haven't learned to behave this way from Christ. What do we learn? What we do learn from Christ is that we must have empathy towards others. That's what will compel us to share the gospel. That's what will propel us forward to help others. That commitment to service is what will keep us on course toward heaven with faithfulness to God through Christ in the church. As we've said many times, Bartimaeus was somebody's boy. That made him important. That made him real. Similarly, Christ was a son of David. He is the Son of God. That makes him supremely important. That makes him very real. It makes him very powerful. It makes him the sacrifice for our sins. You and I are children too. Sure, we've all got earthly parents, but spiritually we're children of God and ministers of Christ. In conclusion, 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministries of the mysteries of God. Our responsibility to be ministers of Christ requires our willingness to pay close attention to others so we can help them. Empathy has been defined as a sensitive show of concern or of seeing through the eyes of another. Of course, that's impossible when we're so focused only on ourselves. I hope that something I have said this morning has been helpful to you. I know it's always helpful to me to study these topics. We never want to close a service without offering the invitation. We know that the plan of salvation is that you must hear the word, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That puts you into Christ. Many of you here have done so, but if there be one that's followed these steps and then gone back into the world, we ask that if there's one of either class, you come while we stand and sing.